This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Raj V. Subramanian.
The Atlantic reported on what it called the largest ever study of fake news, and the publication called the findings grim. The Atlantic reported that the study authors found a false story is much more likely to go viral than a real story. The study found a false story reaches 1,500 people 6 times quicker on average than a true story does. And Raj, fake news about politics regularly does the best.
See, when you analyze what goes behind the success of a viral video or a viral news, researchers have found that it's the shock factor that matters. You only share stories that is extremely shocking or extremely funny. You don't say something that's mediocre, right? And that's exactly what a viral video or news does. They want to play with your emotions, which is like really gross or really shocking, that you say, man, I really want you to read this. I really want you to watch this. And that's what is happening with politics as well, because we are living in very sensitive times where, you know, people are kind of really kind of on the edge in terms of what is going to do in terms of the measures this administration is going to take with immigrants and all the other stuff. And politics is something that is always takes the spotlight, whether you are in Asia or Africa or America. And again, exactly this is what people are trying to do, because people try to exaggerate things that can be really shocking, and that becomes a viral news, even though if it's a false news. And that's the situation we are in right now.
Well, I think Twain was right, Rich. The lie gets halfway around the world before the truth gets up and puts its shoes on. And I think it's been proven here in social media and with things going viral. And again, I think to Rajvi's point, yes, those things that seem sensational and entertaining and amusing, of course that's going to catch your attention when you're glancing on your smartphone in between class or, you know, in the waiting room or whatever that may be. And that's a problem. And especially with long-form, traditional, trusted guardians or gatekeepers, the diminishing in staffs and resources, this is an extreme problem. And again, I think it all comes back to consumers being very savvy in where they get their news and where they consume it.
And also, I'm thinking of, you know, back in those days in the early part of the 20th century where, you know, we had competing newspapers back in New York City where they only kind of established the concept of yellow journalism,
right,
where you have very big good headlines and graphic illustrations and pictures, so
good
that
point.
People are make it sensational. People want to buy the newspaper, see what they're talking about and
sure.
all that. And again, this is pretty much, it's not something that's new. This has been there
not.
Forever in,
right.
In our civilization, whether people are doing it in person or people were using graffitis or whatever. People always try to kind of exaggerate some things
right.
so that people
right.
talk about it. And this is what is happening with all the social media platforms everywhere. And what you mentioned about the concept of truth, what is truth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the truth is, okay, someone did this. But then you also can manipulate that, and people also believe the other thing is also the truth, because now it all matters about eyeballs. How many people are viewing this? How many people are talking about this? Truth is not anymore which is right or wrong.
Right.
Truth is all about how many people are able to see that, how many people are talking about it. And that's what we are living in, a very unfortunate situation where truth is kind of a little bit muddy.
And those are good points. I mean, who developed these at the turn of the century? Joe Pulitzer and Bill Randolph Hearst. I mean, they developed these concepts. So this isn't new. This is just a new vehicle that's providing this that we're having to combat.
Well, for the past 100 years or so, you've had broadcasters. You have radio, and then TV came along a little later, and they were more bound to tell the truth because they were using the public's airwaves, and so they were required to serve in the public interest. Now we're getting away from that again, as you guys are talking about. You know, certainly newspapers did not have that sort of restriction or those types of rules over them for centuries before electronic media came along. But like I said, radio and television stations, because they were using the public's airwaves,
right,
were required to serve in the public good. Now the internet, we're getting away from that again.
Absolutely. I was recently watching a TED talk by Kelsey Samuels, and she was just talking about this thing like, oh, information spreads so fast. And she was talking about, you know, it was something like a research done by some social scientist where they talked about how Trump wanted people to go back to Africa, or Hillary Clinton had some kind of issues in terms of, you know, having something to do with voters, something like that. But all these are totally blatant lies, but still people thought it was true. Why? Because they see it on social media platforms, tweeted by their, you know, followers, or, you know, I mean, tweeted by some other people they know. So when you're encountering this message on and on and on, eventually it becomes the truth, even though it's false. That's unfortunately we are able to do in terms of social media, where everybody becomes a publisher. We have just a phone, and you have some good ideas, you can just write about it, and it just becomes, you know, a viral news or a viral video. And again, this is what we are living in a 21st century, where the model right now seems to be that we need to figure our way out, how to kind of, you know, make sure to get the truth out of all the information that's presented to us. And I mean, as I mentioned earlier, the only way you can guard yourself from all this is to be a very critical thinker and listener, and that's how you should be. You'll be able to survive in this kind of situation.
It's also feeding into your preconceived notions. If you're more likely to vote Republican, you will want to believe something that the Republican candidate. I'm thinking in terms of 2016. So the Republican candidate Donald Trump, you want to believe something he says, and you're probably more inclined to believe something bad about the Democratic nominee, Hillary Clinton, in 2016. So a lot of this is also feeding into what we already believe and sort of reinforcing it, and something we want to believe, whether it's true or whether it's false.
And again, this is exactly what people can do with technology, okay? And what I'm trying to tell you is that I can literally make or break anybody with how I can use my technology. Because going back to the discussion we had in the recent past, that, oh, you know, the business model is changing in terms of newspaper survival. You know, all the newspapers are closing down, and people are reaching more onto social media and other platforms. And right now, all these people who are in certain political parties or, you know, political movements, they are using these people who are literate in terms of technology and how they can actually get the word out to a very larger part of the population, even though it's completely, you know, not true. And again, that's what is happening right now with the current model, that anybody who has a good flair of technology and how to use the content can reach a wide mass of audience without any problem.
Well, I just think here again, here's another example of how the importance of media literacy is, right? But who provides that media literacy? Well, it's usually up to the individual. They have the freedom, they have the choice to listen and to believe to what they want. If you want to educate yourself, and, you know, Raji and I teach classes that probably discuss and cover these things, but what about the rest of the population? Then that's a real problem. And people have to have the savvy to know what is believable and what's not, what's trying to cater to their beliefs or what's not. And again, it's just a constant battle that we have to fight against.
Well, what about your students? As you talk about these sorts of issues, are they are you making any headway with them? Or are they still, you think, likely to believe something based on preconceived notions?
That's a good question. I think some maybe, from what I detect. I don't know specifically. What I do know is that when we have the conversation at the beginning of the semester, I want to get kind of a feel of what they're reading, listening to, what they're impressed by, or how they're informed. And I know almost 100% are being informed by social media. And I'm a little alarmed by that because, again, of the suspicious nature of how news is passed along, especially Twitter. I think Twitter is a fine thing. It's a great way to instantly connect with many people at once. But you know, unless these are news entities that are genuinely putting a real news on the air, again, this again also clears the way for rumor and innuendo. And I think Twitter is as big a purveyor of that as any. And I'm just very concerned and alarmed by that when I hear that most of my students tend to get their news from Twitter.
Well, and that's the thing with social media, is you've got this mix of well-established journalistic institutions along with these fly-by-night operations.
And I also want to, you know, share a story with yourself and also the viewers and the audience. I was teaching a class on the importance of movie as a mass media. And I showed the pictures of, you know, movie stars and all that. I had pictures of Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, and a couple of other movie stars. And my old class was able to identify them. And I'm not even making the story up. This is true. 90% of my class, they were not able to identify who was the Vice President of the United States of America, Mike Pence. Nobody knew who was Justin Trudeau, who was the Prime Minister of Canada,
And who was who's been in the news in the last six months several times.
And again, this is very surprising for the fact that, you know, nowadays youth or youngsters, they're not interested in politics anymore. They're like kind of, you know, consumed with lots of their life around media, around, like, you know, all the, you know, movies and TVs and the streaming sites. And this is not a very healthy trend for us in the long run because, you know, a democracy needs, you know, people's participation. I was also reading, sometimes in the newspaper, in the previous elections, I think a big chunk of the population did not vote at all. And again, what does that mean? Because people are not interested in the administration or politics anymore. And that's why we have some elements who are pretty much abusing the system. And again, going back that, you know, every one of us need to be very focused and very attentive about what's happening around us in our community, at the local level, at the state level, and at the national level. And that's important for yourself as well as for the country.
Well, I'll say students in the 60s, perhaps were more politically engaged because of an unpopular war. But since that war ended in the mid-70s, have any college students really been all that aware politically?
Unless if you're active in some kind of student organizations like NABG or some kind of affiliation with some kind of...
college Democrats, yeah. College Republicans.
Other than that, I think this is my observation. Other than that, I think most of the students are not that very inclined with the political situation, both in the state as well as in the country.
No, I would agree. And I think we're in a politically hot, very hot political climate right now. But I just don't hear the students really talking about that much. And I've been here now through two. I'm in the middle of one election cycle, but having been here the last election cycle as well as when I arrived. And I thought there was at least even back then a little more conversation and a little more interest about the candidates. And so far, even though we're early on, I don't sense that. And I'm wondering about that because even my time as a student here 20-some years ago, I thought we were interested in talking about that. No, we weren't taking to the streets and protesting things, though we very well could have. But in that case, I don't know. I think this is at the forefront of their minds.
We're going to wrap up our discussion for today. Our audience can join us again next week here at tspr.org for more of Shop Talk.